How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined today, as always, by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. We got so much stuff to talk about today. It is Sunday. We are live. And that means in 2 hours, it is the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view. We're going to be running down the entire card for you here on the program today. It is one of only 4 actual real-life pay-per-views that TNA does every year. So we're going to be running down the entire thing here today. We'll talk about all the matches on the show, some predictions, what is going on with TNA. I feel like I've been asking that question for about the last 14 years or so. We're going to talk about that here today. And obviously, in addition to that, there's a lot of pro wrestling news as well. First question, are you enjoying the WWE Network? We've got it playing in the background here. We can all watch the network together as we're doing this show live. Now, the big question about the network is, with this being TNA's first pay-per-view since the launch of the network, wrestling fans now, a lot of wrestling fans, are used to getting their pay-per-views, or they will be from this point forward, for only $9.99 a month. So the question is the WWE Network going to affect the buys of this TNA pay-per-view? So we're going to talk about that here on the program today. We're going to talk about all the news. Last night was a UFC show on Fight Pass. And obviously with Fight Pass, the number one thing people are asking about is how does it compare to the WWE Network? I streamed the show using my Apple TV. I watched it on the TV using the AirPlay feature. It was great. We're going to talk about that, plus Alexander Gustafsson, who's getting the next shot at John Jones, and a lot more. We got so much news to get into today, and we're going to kick it off after the break. Again, if you want to contact us on the show today, we'll be taking phone calls a little bit later in the program. You can also follow us on Twitter. The hashtag is F4WLive. I will be monitoring that throughout the evening, so we will be taking your Twitter questions and more. It's going to be a packed day, 2 hours, so get ready. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We have Mike Sempervivi here on the line. And Mike, were you affected by Daylight Savings Time?
Not as bad as usual, because I made sure to not schedule a radio show that happened to fall, either when we fall forward or whatever it is, fall back and spring forward. Usually I end up somehow, some way, doing a radio show with Dave or something like that at that time, which completely throws me off. So I was actually able to get some sleep and plan ahead for it and not have it affect me as bad as it usually does.
Actually, we had a live show with Dave last night, and I remember I scheduled it for midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern. And then all of a sudden, everybody on Twitter is going, is that 3 a.m. Eastern or 4 a.m. Eastern? And I was like, that's a great question. Because when I record it, it's definitely 3 Eastern. But you guys are 3 hours ahead, so I guess you've probably already set your clock, so it would be 4 Eastern, right? Anyway, I think a lot of people missed out last night. Biggest effect to me is I'm just sweating like crazy after doing that that intro. It just happened to hit 60 degrees here, and I've got I got the TV here for the WWE Network. I've got all this equipment. It's about 8,000 degrees in here. So you're going to have you may have a Ric Flair moment here on the show, Mike, with me just ranting about TNA and tearing my clothes off, dropping an elbow on something. Are you ready for lockdown today? Because I'm not ready yet.
I'm not ready yet at all. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I have completely screwed up my ability to watch things. Like last night was the Canelo Alvarez fight, you know, your nephew. Canelo Alvarez getting back in the ring after losing to Floyd Mayweather, fighting Alfred Angulo, and he ended up defeating him. But I didn't get a chance to see it because I cut the cord. Got the Apple TV now. Got the UFC Fight Pass, which I'm able to stream. I got WWE Network. I kind of forgot about some of these things. And unfortunately, one of the things that's taken a hit for me has been watching Impact because, well, there's no more Spike TV. So I haven't had a chance to really get into the show all that much in the last few weeks. And granted, the few weeks I had leading into those few weeks, I wasn't missing a whole lot and wasn't really looking forward to this. But This isn't good because now I can't watch the show tonight. And I was looking at TNA's website. Unlike UFC or WWE or other events, unfortunately, TNA doesn't have a way to stream it through their website or to purchase it through some other means besides traditional pay-per-view. So unfortunately, it looks like I'm out until somebody can hook me up with a DVD copy.
Now, oh my God, you've still got a DVD player?
Well, I mean, there'd have to be something. I don't know. Somebody would have to. One, I got to find someone like close to me that would actually be watching the Impact pay-per-view, which I don't think that could happen. So I may be waiting for this thing just to make its way to YouTube down the line.
Wow. I don't know how you'll be waiting a while, I think, for this thing to end up on YouTube. I don't know if they still do this. Maybe somebody on Twitter could alert me. But I know that they used to at least put the television shows up on iTunes. So you could like get the show for, I think it was $1.99, which, I mean, to me, if the only reason I had cable was for Impact, I'd just cut the cord and I'd do the $1.99 download off of, iTunes. I don't know if they still do that anymore, but I know they did for a while. So you've cut the cord, you've got Apple TV. Are you watching the network? Are you watching, Kane and Daniel Bryan in the background right now?
You know what? I'm about to. I actually had to reset it because a little bit before I did the show, I was watching NXT, which I think is going to be coming on later on tonight. It'll be on again in the next couple hours or so. No, I'm about to return it back on right now and see what happens. Although, and I will say this today, I don't know what the deal was, and I don't think it came from my end or anything, but it could have. I actually got the first bad pixelation that I've gotten, not counting the NXT Arrival show, which everybody had a problem with. I had a large chunk of watching things on demand today that was pretty pixelated, not the worst thing in the world or anything like that, but I guess that would be my horror story, which still isn't as bad as a lot of other people's has been, you know, with the start of this thing.
It's kind of funny. I had some weird pixelation yesterday, and I just presumed it was my internet. So I still presume it's my internet. You know, Dave last night was talking about how he's had some problems watching something on the network last night, and I figured it was on his end, but it's hard to say. You know, everybody's internet is different. I mean, I've got good internet, but every now and then it, for whatever reason, just completely slows down. So I do think that WWE is going to kind of take a beating in some ways from people who they have a problem on their end. We've talked about this for a while, and they end up blaming it on WWE for whatever reason, because, you know, what do you do when your stream goes down? You blame WWE, even though it might be your fault. So I also like that Wrestling Observer Live, today at least, for the last couple of weeks, is now somewhat become a tech show. Because now we're answering everybody's questions about how do I watch the network. We're going to be talking today about Fight Pass. I mean, now it's just like, what technology are you using to watch pro wrestling today? In the old days, like, it's probably the same thing. People were talking about, man, I got this new thing. It's called a VCR, and I can record the show and watch it later. And people are just all blown away. Kind of in a new era now. But I know, somebody asked
it's a damn good tradition. You know, it really is. I think we brought it up before, you know, when they with movies and with the advent of TV, the easiest thing to record was wrestling and boxing. It was one single camera in a ring and an announcer, and that's all you needed. And it helped to build TV. And then later on, it helped to build cable TV. And then it helped to build VCRs with people wanting to tape wrestling. And again, it's not the end all and be all of these technologies. But just like it's becoming today with the streaming thing with UFC and with WWE, and even with Top Rank to a certain extent in boxing, who is airing all of their undercards for pay-per-view nights, they will do that on their app. So again, it's ringed sport that's leading this thing into, you know, the next stage of where it's going.
Well, it's always been wrestling and pornography, actually, have always been the first No, it's true. That's to jump true. On the new yes. technologies, the VCR, I guess I can probably announce this, but my brother-in-law had, I've never seen so many beta tapes in my life. He had a
beta porn?
Oh my God, gigantic collection. But, you know, every
quality, I guess, was good again.
I don't know. But every new technology is wrestling and porn jump on it. So when people talk about, hell, man, WWE, they're ahead of their time. Vince McMahon it's true. But you know what? Vince McMahon was a trailblazer in many ways on pay-per-view and wrestling was a trailblazer on cable television, satellite television,
closed circuit,
everything. I mean, everything. So no real surprise that wrestling is jumping on it on this. But for the Fight Pass show last night, I presume you just streamed it to your Apple TV.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't even know I had that option. I had watched some stuff on the computer. I had
Where
not
have you been,
watched...
Mike? Come on now. Tech show here.
Didn't even think about it, and I hadn't bothered to watch it on my phone because I'd always been home and had a chance to watch on the computer the previous two shows. So I was really surprised. I had actually put it on the app because I was making dinner, or I was making lunch at the time, and I saw the little box at the bottom for AirPlay, and it clicked on, and I just didn't even realize it. So that was a real great bonus because, again, the quality was
fantastic.
What are
you getting Apple TV for? It's all for AirPlay.
I love the AirPlay. There need to be more apps with AirPlay. This is an annoyance to me if we're turning this into a tech show before the break.
Do you have a Mac?
I don't. See, I'm working my way.
Oh, there you
Apple,
go.
Everything else right now except for the computer itself.
Well, once you get a Mac, anything you put on your Mac screen, you can AirPlay to your television.
Well, that's like I never bothered to use the iPad before.
You can watch your live Twitter feed on your big screen television if you want to. Oh, yeah. And what else would you want to watch?
Why
Except
not?
Your own streaming
Monday
Twitter.
Nights, that's my most exciting thing is watching my own Twitter feed.
That's right. You could watch Raw on like one television, and on your big television, you could do your second screen experience with your Twitter feed.
Look at the amazing ways we've taken wrestling into this millennium.
And by the way,
not even talking about matches anymore. We're talking about how matches are being seen.
Yes. Now speaking of Twitter, on my Twitter here, this guy. Jack says that you can stream full episodes of Impact for free on Spike.com. So you can go up there and check it out. All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. Man, did we get into that lockdown preview or what here in this segment?
AirPlay porn.
Yeah, presumably going to start it when we get back from the break. So stick around, everybody, back in just a moment. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on the show, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, and we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And as noted, we are going to be taking calls during this segment, and maybe for the rest of the show as well. The number 855-478-4478. I believe that number is working. If I don't get any phone calls in the next 20 minutes, I'll know it's not, and I'll throw out the local numbers. But I'm pretty sure the 855 number is back working again. So 855-478-4478. And we're also going to be running down the TNA lockdown pay-per-view. And I am kind of surprised, Mike, to hear that you can't get the lockdown show on the TNA website. They don't offer that pay-per-view anymore, huh?
No, it didn't look like it there. I'll go back and double-check again, but I looked and it said, you know, listed all the traditional ways, Dish TV and Comcast, AT&T, Uverse, all that sort of stuff, but I didn't see a link on there to actually purchase it directly.
All right, well, tonight is lockdown, and you know what that means? Every match will be contested inside a steel cage, and that means you're going to have, look at this. I'm going to interrupt myself here to take this call because I want to make sure that the telephone lines are working. So hold on one sec. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Sammy from New Jersey.
You know what? During the break, I knew you were going to be the first caller.
Well, you said, I just got to work and figured I'd give it a shot. Sorry.
Incredible. Incredible. What's going on? And yes, I have listened to your podcast.
Was any good?
Well, it was great for a first podcast.
Well, thank you.
Did you hear the first Big Audio Nightmare that was on the site in 2005? My God.
Yeah, go listen to the first Brian and Vinny shows and you'll really hear. In fact, go back and listen to the first Wrestling Observer Lives and you'll hear
I will check it out. I've tried to listen to some of the early stuff in the archives. I think the earliest I listened to was you and Vinny on One Night Stand 2006. What was I going to say? I'm not watching the pay-per-view. I've watched literally like one TNA show in the last like 3 years, which was whatever their WrestleMania was last year. I listen to you guys talk about it. That's where I get my fix. It's funnier listening to you guys than actually trying to watch it. But I was going to call about, I was thinking, I was listening to all the shows this week about the talk about CM Punk, and I came to a thought of if his reason for leaving is like, let's just say like a main reason is the WrestleMania payout, then I actually kind of can understand why he would walk out, because they announced this pay-per-view or this network, I think it was late 2010. They said it was going to launch the day after WrestleMania without any contracts with any cable companies for their original vision. And, you know, it's been, I guess, two and a half years now that they've been working on this, and they finally decided, well, let's just do a Netflix-style streaming service. And through all of that talk that we're going to put the pay-per-views on the network, it doesn't seem like they consider, well, what about what we pay the talent for these pay-per-views? Like, everyone's talking about that. It doesn't seem like they put much thought into it. So if I'm a wrestler for them and they're not thinking
let me ask you a question, though. Hold on a second. Sorry. Let's say that you are WWE, okay?
Okay.
So what are you going to do?
Well, obviously, like, it's not a overnight thing to figure out what you're going to do. Like, you have to come up with a percentage of what these people are going to get based off of, you know, network subscriptions and whatever remaining pay-per-view buys are that aren't cannibalized. And you have to, you know,
of that yet.
Well, I understand but you could come up with percentages.
But you don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, listen.
But if there's 500,000 subscribers at WrestleMania or 1 million subscribers at WrestleMania, you could still have a percentage of those subscribers. You could at least it feels like if that's the reason he left, that maybe they didn't even talk with the talent about it. It's like they didn't.
I know they haven't talked to the talent about it.
Well, no, to be honest, I'm not saying that that's not one of the reasons that would put me over the line to leave, but I don't think that's like the cause of him leaving. I think it's just, it may be one of those, you know, pieces on the fire. It certainly probably is, actually, because it's been an issue to everybody. But with that said, I doubt that was really the impetus for him walking out, because, again, everybody's in the same boat on that one, and everyone's going to rebel, you know, if these things aren't, you know, ended up getting fixed here. I'm sure they're holding everybody off right now going, hey, look at the visibility we're going to get, and it's a work in progress and all that stuff. But sooner or later, those chickens will come home to roost.
I'm going to try not to. I know that we're on a lot of over-the-air networks, so I'm not going to swear here. I'm going to really try hard not to. Every time I bring this up, I have to hear from people telling me I'm crazy. But listen to me here. What would you like WWE to tell CM Punk a month ago about how he's going to be paid for WrestleMania? What would you like to tell him? Because they don't know how many network subscribers they are going to have at WrestleMania. They don't know how many pay-per-view buys. They don't even know who's going to be carrying WrestleMania. I mean, we think we know, but it seems to me that Dish Network dropped Elimination Chamber like the weekend of Elimination Chamber. I don't know what's going to happen at WrestleMania. WrestleMania may come, and all of a sudden, Comcast, the weekend of the show, goes, we ain't carrying WrestleMania. So what do you tell Punk? You go, you're going to get a percentage of the people that carry this pay-per-view, and you're going to get a percentage of... What do you tell him? If anybody has like a good thing to tell the talent right now, when you have no idea how many subscribers you're going to get, you have no idea who's going to carry WrestleMania, you have no idea how many people are going to get the network and not get WrestleMania on pay-per-view, you don't know anything.
And so there's the thing, too, if that's up in the air to him and then you actually tell him anything, you might as well start telling everyone everything then as well, too.
But you have nothing to tell them.
Exactly. So
all you can tell them is, listen, when we know, we'll tell you. I mean, anybody who thinks that nobody was going to get a WrestleMania payout, you're out of your mind. Of course they're going to get a WrestleMania payout. But the company has no idea how they're going to do it yet. That's all I'm saying. I've mentioned this before. If you're CM Punk and you don't get a WrestleMania payout, then go ahead and leave. But just because they don't know how they're going to give you a payout yet, is that really a reason to walk out 20 minutes? I don't think that is. Maybe I'm just like out of my mind. And that is the right thing to do. When they don't give you an answer, just leave.
I can't believe, though, that that's it.
Okay, well,
that's
not the only
thing that sent him out.
It's not the only thing. There's about 8 million things that have been driving him crazy. That's just
exactly
one thing.
So.
Yeah. And the other thing is, listen, everybody, CM Punk was upset about his payout for WrestleMania last year. You know what that means? That means that going in, he didn't know what his payout was going to be. Because nobody knows what their payout is going to be going into WrestleMania. Because there is a formula that is done based on where you are on the card, how many pay-per-view buys it sells. Not a single person has ever, unless they were given like a flat fee, like if someone is told you're going to get $750,000 for doing Mania this year.
Mike Tyson or Butterbean or something.
Yeah, exactly. Anybody who works on a percentage has absolutely no idea on the day of the show how much they're going to make for WrestleMania. None of them. Nobody. So to me, not knowing what you're going to get for WrestleMania this year is no reason to walk out. When they figure it out, they're going to tell everybody. CM Punk thing, this WrestleMania payout thing is just driving me crazy. I'm sure my Twitter's on fire right now.
This whole CM Punk thing has just driven me crazy. It really is. It you know, and it's, I'm kicking myself in the ass from last week, and pardon the over-the-air affiliates with that, but because of, you know, I talking to people, and you've asked me every week, do you think he's coming back? And I say, no. And in the past couple of weeks, it just, you know, it more and more it's been drilled to my head, you know, it's too quiet. It's too quiet. It's too convenient. You know, Chicago. And then Dave is flat out told by someone he absolutely trusts he's going to be there. He's not the only one who heard that from people that he trusts. So it's not like, you know, again, this was bandied about. And then we have this big buildup and then it doesn't happen. And I to be honest, none of this is Punk's fault. Punk has just, you know, quietly gone away. And he's done the best he can to just be quiet, not get in any more hot water or breach his contract or anything like that. But it does beg the question, what is going on that they have not breached his contract? They have seemingly taken him out of all the advertising. I didn't see him in the Scooby-Doo advertising for the DVD that's coming out. So they've been sure to do all of that sort of stuff. Why is he still then valid? I'm missing what the deal is here, because
why is he still valid? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, the fact that they haven't, you know, what did Vince say during the investors meeting? He's taking a sabbatical.
He was on a sabbatical, I believe is what he said.
He walked out 20 minutes before a show. And again, this isn't really anything to do with CM Punk. He did what he was doing. I would wish all of the rumors and all of the nonsense and all that stuff would just go away, because I don't see how CM Punk coming back is a big deal. If he pops up at WrestleMania to do it, I don't see, because I've heard this about people, you know, this is what you could do with CM Punk. It was too obvious to do it in Chicago. I'm sorry. If he's gone, good for him. It was a principal thing. He really is sacrificing a lot in doing what he's doing. I'll give him credit for that. Sit on his principles, go away. I'm frankly, at this point, I'm tired of hearing about it. And I think a lot of the people that called in last week to your show on Monday said the same thing. It is just, it's actually gotten now tiring for me, and I wish it would go away.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
What's up, Jim?
I was saddened recently hearing about the death of Count Billy Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, I seen him, actually I saw him wrestle a show or two for Crockett at the Greensboro Coliseum. Did he ever wrestle any for Vince?
Mike, hold that. We'll get that when we get back from the break. We got to head out, but I'll have Mike go to that when we come back. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live, everybody, on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And if you love this show, everybody, you are missing out if you are not a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com. As noted, when this show goes off the air, it's TNA Lockdown, live on pay-per-view. Well, guess what? Immediately after Lockdown goes off the air, we're going to be back with live radio. And you can only hear it at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll be up right after the show, myself, Vinny, and Craig. And we'll be running down all of the results from Lockdown. We'll be recapping the pay-per-view. We got a lot of stuff to talk about for the show. That's coming up immediately after it goes off the air. And then afterwards, later on in the evening, myself and Dave Meltzer are going to be up with a brand new show talking all of the news in pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, Lockdown, and more. Now, all of this is available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. If you happen to miss a show, and quite frankly, the Dave show is going to be on very late this evening, probably about midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, as a subscriber, you get immediate on-demand replays. You can download them. You can podcast them. If you've got Apple TV, you can listen to him on your television. And it's all available at $10.99 a month. In fact, if you sign up for a year less, it's as low as $9.99 a month. And not only do you get the on-demand replays, but we've got every single show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 in our archives. And earlier when Sammy was on the air, I was talking about how god-awful some of the early Brian and Vinny shows were. All of the early audio was terrible. You can go back and listen to it and make fun of me. It's all up there for subscribers. WrestlingObserver.com. Head up there and check it out. And make sure you're up at WrestlingObserver.com immediately after lockdown for our next live show. You can stream it through your device as well as TuneIn Radio. If you've got the TuneIn Radio app or you go to the TuneIn website, our channel is F4W Live. F4W for Figure 4 Weekly. F4W Live on TuneIn Radio. And you can listen to all of the live programming. And everything is also available for download as a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com. Now, Mike, before we went to the break, we had Jim talking a little bit about Billy Robinson, and he asked you a question about Billy and WWE, so the floor is yours.
Well, really simple. When he came to Billy Robinson, he was never a regular with WWF at any point. And I know he wrestled Bob Backlund more than a few times, who I believe he probably had somewhat of a hand in training for the professional ranks. So after Bob Backlund came out of Minnesota, I think it was, I can't remember exactly, NAIA champion that Backlund was. But he started training in Minnesota, obviously, where he was from with Vern Gagne. And when Backlund was WWF champion, he wrestled into a bunch of 60-minute draws in Montreal and in Japan as well, too, I believe. But never was in WWF like Carl Gotch was for a spell as being the tag team champions with Rene Goulet in the early 70s. Robinson's path just never went that way. He always wrestled in the AWA, and when he wasn't doing that, he was wrestling in Japan for IWE, which was, at the time, there was All Japan, there was New Japan, and then there was IWE, and IWE wasn't exactly like an ECW third promotion. It was a big deal in Japan, and, you know, when he wasn't there, he was out traveling the world and going to different territories. But, you know, Billy Robinson just didn't have a style that meshed with what New York was all about. Superstar Graham, you know, he hated wrestling with Billy Robinson. The AWA just flat out wouldn't do it. So probably wouldn't have been a good mix together with them. And frankly, again, with the way WWF was built, even though he had these 60-minute draws with Bob Backlund in Montreal and things like that, it's not something that would have played well in WWF's territory.
All right, we are taking phone calls. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478. If you want to give us a call on any of this, you can do so. We had a comment here, by the way, from Sammy, who called earlier. He said, I just thought that with 2.5 years of planning, they would at least have some idea of a percentage of what the talent got. And he says, you're probably right. If he legit walked out, he didn't probably do it purely on WrestleMania payout. I can tell you for sure it wasn't purely on the Mania payout, because he was upset about the previous year's payout. So he was upset about a payout from the previous year, and he stuck around for another year. So, to me, if you're upset that you don't know how much you're going to get paid, the idea that you're going to walk out, which will result in you not getting paid anything, I find that a little bit hard to believe. So there were a lot of issues with Punk. And as Mike talked about earlier, I mean, I was pretty sure he was going to show up at Raw on Monday. You know, we talked about it with Dave on the show. And one thing is nobody knew, if you know what I mean. If CM Punk was going to come back on Monday, it was going to be absolutely top secret. It was not going to be in the script. He was going to be hidden outside in a limo. It was going to be made very clear. And I could tell you from talking to people in WWE, I mean, there were a lot of people in the company who also thought he was going to come back. I heard it from a lot of people. There are a lot of signs that CM Punk is coming back. I mean, keep in mind, you did have the Paul Heyman thing scripted with him talking about CM Punk at the beginning of the show. You obviously had to get CM Punk's music ready and queued. I mean, if you were there working in the company and you didn't know, I mean, you probably figured, if you're putting the show together, that Punk is going to be back tonight. So the idea that anybody knew one way or the other, aside from like CM Punk, Vince McMahon, Triple H, Stephanie, maybe Kevin Dunn, I mean, nobody knew. A lot of people had their ideas, but nobody knew. And he didn't come back. So My feeling is if he didn't come back in Chicago, the guy's not coming back. I know some people think maybe he's going to be back tomorrow, but I don't think he's coming back.
Nah, see, to me, that's kind of a waste. You know, it kind of it's to do the obvious thing sometimes is the obvious thing to do. And if he was going to come back, that would have been the obvious thing to do. And I know you could have a million and one reasons why somebody, you know, you wouldn't have did it that way. But, you know, when Steve Austin used to, you knew Steve Austin was coming out. Stone Cold was coming out at the end of every single Raw. The only question was going to be what he was driving. And the fact that you knew he was going to come out at the end didn't make it any less special, didn't make the pop any less loud or anything like that. So I think it would be really anticlimactic to do it after the fact. And again, unless, to me, the best thing to do is Triple H, Daniel Bryan, I would still go ahead and do that match. And then because they just don't have the ability to wait until the next pay-per-view, they, to me, at this point, they have got to have WrestleMania end with a Daniel Bryan, you know, being put into the main event. And obviously, to me, winning, that would be the direction I would go. I would hope they would do the same thing after all of this time. I mean, you've had this, what you, they can lie and say that this, we've been planning this for 8 months. No, you weren't. He wouldn't have been in the Wyatts. You wouldn't have had all that nonsense that happened if that was the case. But you have the ability to pay this thing off and with less damage than, frankly, that probably should have been done to Daniel Bryan in the whole situation. Do it at WrestleMania and get it out of the way.
All right. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? All right. Let's try this line. Nope. Every now and then I pick it up right at the last second and it doesn't work out. All right, we've got lockdown here tonight and a lineup here for the show. As noted, all cage matches on this program here tonight, including a lethal lockdown match, which for those of you that don't watch a lot of TNA, that's War Games, although there's only one ring. And it's Team MVP, the Wolves, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards, along with Jeff Hardy, apparently not Will-O-The-Wisp, and against Team Dixie, Bobby Roode, the Bromans, and Austin Aries. We're going to do a preview after this call. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. It's Eric in Chicago.
Eric, what's up?
What's up, man? I just want to make a few comments on this Raw show from past Monday night. I wasn't there live in the building, but I did see the show. And I thought it was pretty good, man. I think they did the best job they could. I hate to nitpick the show, but one thing I really would have liked if they would have done is if they would have gave Big E at least one entrance. He fought twice on the show, once against Swagger, once against Cesaro. By the second time he came out, I wasn't looking at the TV. I was watching with some friends, and my friend yelled out, "He's fighting again." I just looked up. They're already fighting, you know. So I think they should have gave him at least one entrance, you know, and not make the Intercontinental Champion afterthought.
A
I'm
geek.
A Big E fan, as are you, Brian.
I am.
I'd just like to know what you think about this.
I remember watching the show, and I thought, man, have I not been paying attention? Why is this guy coming out twice? I thought they must have shot an angle that I skipped over, something like that. But apparently they just briefly mentioned on commentary that Brad Maddox said he needed to wrestle again. I couldn't figure out why the guy was wrestling twice in the first place. But yeah, they did make him look like kind of a geek.
It's the problem with those belts. The problem with what they look at Wade Barrett. I mean, it's not like Wade Barrett is, you know, Billy Robinson or anything like that, but what a unique character. He was good on NXT with Jericho. He looks the part. He, you know, again, he wasn't the most fluid guy in the world or you know, the greatest, but you know, he was still pretty green.
A guy like Wade Barrett shouldn't be fluid.
But that's the whole thing. I mean, the street fighting thing and all that stuff. But you know, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And this is what they've done with him after they gave him the IC title. Look what they've done. Like Big E Langston. I mean, they're like no brainer things when they need stars and they constantly put these belts on guys and they just kill them. It like saps all the strength out of them. They're like kryptonite belts.
Well, it is looking like we're probably going to have a unification match at WrestleMania. Probably the Intercontinental and U.S. titles are going to be on the line. And we'll end up with only one belt, which I think is the way we need to go anyway. Back to this lockdown card here, this 8-man lockdown, a leader of the winning team, so that means either MVP or Dixie, is going to get complete control of TNA wrestling operations. But the other, I guess if MVP wins, Dixie is still the owner. She'll be an owner with no power over the wrestling operations.
Yeah, I think it's on interview with MVP where it's like, you know, we're not going to fool anybody. You know, she still owns the company, but she's just going to be doing business things, which she's
business
really good
things?
At.
Shouldn't that be wrestling operations?
Well, he said business things, which she's really good at, if I'm paraphrasing him there. But I didn't know she was good at such business things.
And if Team Dixie wins, she's only going to get, let me think about this. She'll have complete control over operations. But actually, let me think about this here.
Loses a stake to Bobby Roode.
So MVP, do we know what percentage of the company MVP owns?
I'm not quite sure. Hopefully Scott Steiner.
Because they
can
both
do
seem to have an equal amount
that.
Of power. So wouldn't it be 50%? Doesn't that make sense?
Well, if they have equal power, then yes.
So if Dixie, here's a swerve for you. If Team Dixie wins and she has 100% control over wrestling operations, she would have to give Roode 10% ownership in the company. So MVP would then be the majority owner.
Yes.
Well, she didn't think this out very carefully.
Seems to be a lot of that goes on there.
That would not be good.
Not at all.
How
I guess...
can he have no control over wrestling operations if he owns 60% of the company? Or if he owned the majority, it'd be 50%. But then it'd be 40 and 10. So how would he not have control over wrestling operations? This stupid wrestling storyline?
Well, maybe it depends on what, you know, I wasn't there to see what the lawyer had written into this deal or, you know, what he was going to get for his money. Maybe he sacrificed some of that for 100% of the concessions.
Well, who do you think is going to win?
Team MVP. I would hope so, at least.
Actually, this would be Roode would only have 5% because doesn't he have to give 5% to Austin Aries to get him on this team?
I
think
that
was the storyline. That's right. You're not watching the show. You don't even know what's going on.
Jesus.
I'll talk about
it. Here's my thing, though, and this makes me wonder, because it's lockdown, will they do traditional TNA fashion where the bad guy team ends up getting the advantage?
We already know the advantage. Talk about this after the break. Okay. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And we're talking lockdown here today, the TNA lockdown pay-per-view, and we just went over the big 8-man lethal lockdown match. Every match tonight is taking place within the confines, as they say, of a steel cage, which means we're going to have, I swear to God, a last man standing match inside a steel cage. Let's think about that for a second.
Those drawbacks that people said. I think it was Dusty
a last
Rhodes
man
come up with this
standing
idea?
Match in a steel cage.
Well,
what a.
Themed pay-per-views, this is what happens.
I know. But why even have, like, last man standing stipulation? Just have it be a steel cage match.
To make it different from the other steel cage matches, duh.
That's Gunnar and James Storm, by the way, in that last man standing match inside a steel cage. We've got Mr. Anderson, Sam Shaw, also in a steel cage. We're going to go over all of these matches when we come back from the break. I wanted to devote some time to this TNA pay-per-view preview, even though as Mike has revealed to the world, he's not even watching TNA.
I'm watching it right now, the episode 923, Deadlocked.
With no audio?
Well, no, I just, yeah.
Well, how do you know what's going on
right
then?
Well, I don't know. Austin Aries is coming in the ring talking. They just showed an inset of
shorts?
Of the Wolves losing in Japan to the bromans.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're previewing the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view here today. We've been taking our time, and I think we previewed exactly one match so far. But hey, we've got 2 hours here on the program. It's going to be starting in about an hour on pay-per-view. And of course, immediately following the show up at WrestlingObserver.com, we're going to be doing a live post-show. Myself, Vinny, and Craig are going to run down all of the matches on the show, all of the angles. It is one of only four TNA pay-per-views that they run every year. And we've got Magnus and Samoa Joe in the main event, as we were talking about right before we went to the break. Believe it or not, the heels do have the man advantage in the eight-man lethal lockdown, which to me is a pretty good indication that maybe Vince Russo actually is not back in TNA, because otherwise the babyfaces would have that advantage. But they injured Davey Richards on television, and he had an hour to get back in there and fight for the man advantage, and he wanted to go to the hospital, but MVP forced him to go in there. So he goes in there after being forced by his team captain. And my thought was, why would the team captain force this poor guy to go back in? Wouldn't you want your guys healthy, even if you don't have the man advantage? But he threw him in there injured. And, of course, he got his shoulder worked over and ended up being submitted clean by Bobby Roode. So for those of you
brilliant.
For those of you keeping track, the American Wolves have won and lost the tag team titles already, and both of them were beaten on Impact clean this past Thursday night. Not how I would book it, everybody, but I'm not in charge. So we're going to continue our preview of this show when we come back from the break. We've got eight big matches on the show tonight, including Ethan Carter and a mystery opponent. Who is that going to be? We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. You're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are running down the TNA Lockdown 2014 pay-per-view, which is starting in an hour. Actually, less than that. About 48 minutes this show is starting. And in the background here on the WWE Network, we are watching the NXT show.
Don't stop believing.
Yeah, don't stop believing. I mentioned this when we were on the break, but I'm constantly amazed at how good the production quality is on NXT. I mean, I watched this show, and I think the production is better than Raw. I mean, obviously, Raw's got the advantage of being in a gigantic building and everything like that, but NXT looks so good, and I don't know. I mean, they did an excellent job with the building, the NXT arena. It just looks great.
Oh, man, you watch, like, old WCW Worldwides, like, when they had center stage and things like that, and it, you know, I know how corny this is going to sound, but it's probably as close as we have to like an old, local territorial style thing, which in a way is what it is. It's, you know, Full Sail University, but they took all that stuff and they really did it right. Everybody that had a chance to go down there, Mike Mooneyham and all those people that reported on when it opened up. I mean, it is a second to none training center with a lot of really cool bells and whistles that you would want if you were running a wrestling company. And Triple H, again, it was his baby and he made it, you know, perfect that way, you know, right down to the experience they had on Hulu showing NXT and getting all those bumps and clicks out, where it really is a very, very sharp production. And again, being very minimalist with the black lights and, you know, the not doing a whole lot of stuff, it really does come across really cool looking.
Ric Flair is here hitting on Emma. It's amazing. Look
it's
at that
also
nature
amazing,
boy.
Charlotte's height.
Oh, yeah, she's gigantic. The new dirtiest player in the game. All right, Magnus and Samoa Joe is a steel cage match for the
world. Is that more important than Sasha Banks and Charlotte?
Right now, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. She is absolutely gigantic. But anyway, so the steel cage match. Yeah, this is Charlotte. It's a steel cage match for the title, and they have added that it is Joe's rules, which means that the only way to win is via submission or knockout, which is a stipulation that it amazes me every time. Like, Joe's stipulation is, I'm going to take out one of my main ways to win, my muscle buster, because you can't pin anybody in this match. I don't know if that means Joe that thinks he's susceptible to being pinned or what the storyline is, but he's taken pinfalls out of this match. You can only win by submission or knockout. So that is the main event. I actually
Really upset over Mighty Mo. I think this is what the problem is. He's just getting been talked into his mind too much that he is the Samoan submission machine.
That's right. And I actually really like this the build for this, mostly because I think Joe has been awesome. I think that I think he's been for a long time. He just was kind of going through the motions, and I think that now that he's getting kind of a main event push, I think he's working really hard. I think he's been great for the past month or so. I don't think he's winning the title, but I think it'll be a pretty good match.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing about, you know, Joe looking better, which is great because I've always really liked Samoa Joe, and I really like Magnus as champion. I know, you know, they weren't doing a whole lot, and he was kind of looking very chicken-ass, you know, as far as being a champion, although he keeps winning the matches. That was going on the last time I had watched where, you know, Dixie was trying to get him away from matches, and he would go ahead and win matches. And I think he's going to do the same thing here. I don't know what kind of chicanery is going to be involved, but I think there's probably going to be something. But Magnus, I would assume, and should, again, what would be the point? As popular as Samoa Joe is, and as much as he could probably use to be the TNA champion, I think Magnus needs a lot more.
All right, what else do we have on this show here? Madison Rayne and Gail Kim for the TNA Knockouts title in a steel cage match. Madison Rayne is, in fact, the champion, for those of you that are keeping score. And Gail Kim, the challenger, what is your prediction here? I don't anticipate a title change.
I'll go with Madison Rayne when Lady Tapa does something, throws something into the ring for Gail to try to use, and it ends up backfiring and Rayne gets the win.
So are you believe we're going for the Gail Kim Lady Tapa feud here?
I would assume so. Look, I think I can't remember if this was on air or off air. We talked about Gail Kim and Drew McIntyre's ex,
Tiffany.
Yes. Oh, lovely, lovely Tiffany. That was actually a great little feud. And Gail Kim, no matter who she's been in there with, for the most part, works really hard and does her best because she's by far the most talented thing there. And who better for Lady Tapa if she is going to be around for a while? Who else is she going to learn from if not Gail Kim? So that would, to me, make the most sense. And then I don't know what you do with Madison Rayne. I don't know if Jim gets his wish with Athena or whatever, whoever it is that I can't even remember now, the Amazon.
Oh, what the hell's her name?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're Madison Rayne and somebody while
the
Gail
alpha
Kim
female.
Is, yes, faced alpha off female. With Lady Tapa. That would be the way to go.
You know, I was speaking of the women. I'm watching NXT is on the WWE Network right now, and I have noticed ever since the NXT special that there is a lot of makeup running wild in NXT, and I don't know if that's I presume it's just a directive from the office that, you know, we're going to give this company a big push right now, so let's get the makeup going, let's make these girls look glamorous like they're going to be on Raw. I mean, the girls don't need it. And in fact, it's kind of it was distracting to me when I watched the when they had the women's title match on the NXT special, and all I could look at was, my God, look at how much makeup they're wearing here.
Oh, Paige, I mean, and Emma, yeah, which it was
Paige is beautiful. She doesn't need this much makeup, and they're making her up like she's a clown. Maybe that's a little excessive, but.
Well, you know, again, just about glamming it up and doing that. So what amazed me was the fact that it just didn't run all over the place on either one.
It was amazing.
Them.
I don't know where they got it. I don't know a lot about women's makeup, but it didn't run. Yeah, Paige is absolutely amazing. And why they feel the need to cake on additional makeup, I have absolutely no idea. But I guess that's the way they do things in WWE. Gunnar and James Storm.
How are
Storm.
They going to resist the urge, by the way, when she actually is called up to the roster to not have her and Sheamus have some sort of pale off?
A pale off? I'm sure they'll have it on day one.
God.
I'm getting distracted by this match. I need to get moving. So we've got Gunnar and James Storm, a last man standing match inside a steel cage. These guys have done more talking than anything over the last several weeks now, so hopefully we just get a match this time. I think it will probably be pretty good. I'm a big fan of Gunnar. When they did the show where Gunnar was fighting for the title, and then of course James Storm ends up screwing him out of the belt. I remember watching that show just thinking, Why don't you just put the belt on Gunnar? It doesn't matter, but they built it up so well. The video packages were so awesome that I just watched it and I thought, you know, now this is the day that you put the belt on the guy. Because you can never do these video packages like this again. You've now that you've done it, it's done. So you put the belt on him for a while. I don't know. I just thought that it doesn't matter who the champion of TNA is, but I just thought that the way they built up that whole thing with Gunnar, I thought he should have won the belt. But either way, I think he's winning the match tonight.
I'll actually go with that, too. Did you ever wonder to yourself, what happened to Murphy?
No, I never wonder what happened to Murphy.
Me neither.
I'm sorry. And I apologize to Murphy. We have the Bad Influence, Daniels and Kazarian, and Chris Sabin in a six-man interpromotional tag team steel cage match. It is interpromotional because on the other side, we've got the great Muda Sanada and Nakanoe, I believe is how you pronounce it, although I'm sure I butchered that. Tell us about the Wrestle One team.
Well, we're going to assume that this, look, for anybody watching the WWE Network or having that out there, the great Muda you're going to see is a little bit older than that great Muda that was wrestling at like Bash 89.
He's not a long-haired young fella no more.
No, he actually wears some. He takes his bald head into account and actually will usually wear some really cool masks and outfits.
Actually, hold that thought. We'll talk more about Muda when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. You're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here talking the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view. And before the break, Mike was talking. He was educating us, so to speak, about the great Muta, who is not the great Muta of old. Same guy, but he is, how can I put this? You can explain it better to me. Sometimes when your body falls apart, you've got to adopt a different style. And Muta did that, and he is one of the best workers, maybe not so much today, but for a while there, he's one of the best workers in the world doing a style completely different from what he used to do as the great Muda that you probably saw in NWA and WCW.
Yeah, it's, he's kind of a lot of smoke and mirrors. He is one hell of a ring entrance now. I don't know exactly what they'll do in Miami tonight, but as far as his ring entrances into Japan, they were very showy and exotic. He will come out usually in he usually only wrestles on big shows because his knees and his condition at this point in his life, he just can't be doing it. I mean, the man is, what is he, 51 years old, and his knees are about the age of a 75-year-old, and that may even be giving him a few years on him. So a lot of the time, it's just a real showy ring entrance. He's got usually a mask and face paint on that, much different than his old days where in WCW where he'd have the black paint and spin the green and red mist and things like that. Still does that. Does a lot of dragon screw leg whips. Does a lot of quick elbow drops and things like that. Will still, because he's insane and he's a pro wrestler, will still do the moonsault and break that out. So it's going to be cool to see him, and I think there's going to be a lot of people in Miami that he's going to get a great pop just for doing not a whole lot, but just by being the great Muda. He's one of those guys that he's one of the few guys that has done nothing in WWE that I could actually see down the line because of the amount of respect that he has and the amount of video they have on him. You could actually see him in the Hall of Fame one day. You honestly could. Seiya Sonata has been one of his star guys, one of his success stories, coming from his owning All Japan Pro Wrestling before he'd split off and started this Wrestle One group. Him, a guy named Kai, and there's been a handful of other guys, Manabu Soya, Ryoto Hama, Suwama. They were the class of Muda guys that were going to be, you know, his next group to take him, you know, and take All Japan Pro Wrestling to kind of where it is after they fell apart after Giant Baba died. And again, things have changed in Japan and are very different, but the core of quality wrestling still remains, and Sonata is very, very good at that, a very sound wrestler. Nakanoe's the young guy for Wrestle One. He's one of those guys that Muda's now building up with his new company, and this is probably going to be the best match on the show wrestling-wise, I would figure by far. Bad Influence, especially Christopher Daniels, fits perfectly with Muda and Sonata. I mean, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. Chris Sabin the same way. I don't know how long they're going to have. I hope they actually give them some time. And this is just going to be probably a flip-flop and fly exhibition, and it should be really, really fun for what it is. Of all the matches, looking at it on the card, and obviously I have somewhat of a Japanese bias, this one by far sticks out as being probably going to be the most fun.
So a good chance this could be by far the best match on the show. In fact, you pretty much expect it.
You have Sonata, who, again, nobody will believe that because they probably haven't seen him. But, again, he's great in sound. Muda is a great big match wrestler and a big show wrestler, and this is a big deal, him coming back to the States and a good chance to showcase and get nice tape sent back to Japan. So he's going to be at his best. And then you have Daniels and Kazarian and Chris Sabin as well, too, who are all really great, and they'll be able to play off of the other three without a problem.
And how much have you seen of Extreme Tiger?
I don't think I've seen much of Extreme Tiger. Is this Tigre Uno?
This is Tigre Uno. He's Extreme Tiger in AAA. He's going to be in facing Manic here tonight. And I haven't seen a lot of him, but I would think this would probably be a pretty good match as well.
No, see, I have to start doing that now, too. My CMLL is taking a weird hit where I have to watch a lot on Terra now, and I have the one Azteca America show that I have a chance to see, and that's seemingly about it. I'm waiting on hopefully seeing more AAA here with their deal later on this year.
All right, well, that's also on the card, Extreme Tiger and Manic. Also, Mr. Anderson and Sam Shaw, as we talked about. And I hate the storyline. Hopefully the match is good. The storyline is just like ridiculous. Him stalking Christy Hemme.
And yeah, this like I haven't from the no sounds security. Of it, I haven't missed anything with this.
No, there's no security apparently in the building.
Except for Jeremy Borash's bug eyes. I mean, really
his
upset
bug
I
eyes.
That a few weeks
Christy Hemme has never heard of a restraining order apparently, which I don't know. But anyway, they're gonna have a match. I'm a much bigger fan of Mr. Anderson now than I was when he was in WWE. I've just completely turned a corner on him. I don't even know why, but I do like Mr. Anderson. And Sam Shaw, you know, he's right out of developmental. I don't know how this is going to be as a match. Hopefully it's all right. I don't think it's going to be up there with the Sonata match, but that is in a steel cage, as well as Ethan Carter is apparently going to come out and issue an open challenge. I don't know who that will be against, but he is scheduled to do that tonight. I would guess it'll probably be like, who are the two skinny guys?
Oh, Norm Fernum or something?
Norm Fernum and Dewey Barnes.
Dewey Barnes.
I'll bet you it's going to be one of those guys, because we haven't seen that match enough.
Hey, lots of guys live in Miami. Who knows? Somebody could make their way backstage.
Well, the Ethan Carter gimmick is that he wrestles the same eight guys over and over again. I don't know.
Well, spring training is happening, right? Aren't they big with like AJ Pierzynski and these other a lot of baseball players and such?
I don't think it's
going to
be
Jarrett?
AJ per Snickety. I don't expect that one. Maybe it will be. Hey, stranger things have happened. Kurt Angle obviously is off the show. I don't know if you can tell by the fact that we didn't announce him here in the lineup, but he has a knee injury, a legit knee injury. They played up a knee injury in storyline, and I guess they thought there was a chance that he would be ready by lockdown, but lockdown is here. He was not ready, so no Kurt Angle match on the show. Thank God, because I don't need Kurt Angle jumping off a cage again and nearly killing himself like he's done every single time he's in a cage match.
I was going to say, because then, again, the problem with everything being in a cage, what makes your match unique from anybody else? And you think it's Kurt Angle's go-to.
Kurt Angle's go-to. Jump off something really high on your bad knee.
Kurt Angle, you got to admit, though, is proof of the miracles of the human body and what the human body can come back from and do. He's just... I know the condition he's in, but the fact that he can even move at all with knees, talk about Muda's knees, Kurt Angle's knees and neck and everything else. It was amazing.
All right. If you want to contact us, the phone lines are open, 855-478-4478. And I am taking taking questions and such on Twitter as well. The hashtag is F4WLive. I am up at Brian Alvarez if you want to follow me there, which is actually a great way to always know when we're going to be live on the air. I usually post it on my Twitter. This person here says that Lockdown is going up against WrestleMania 26 on the network. Which one do you think will have more viewers? I don't know. Listen, you know how many times I've seen WrestleMania 26? Actually, maybe WrestleMania 26 is new this week. I've been watching. I've seen WrestleMania 25 about 95 times.
Yeah, they added in 26. I'm assuming it's like one a week they're going to do leading into WrestleMania 30. I guess, well, 29's up there as it is already.
How many people here have seen the Adam Rose debut on NXT? If you have not, guess what's playing on the network right now?
It's a party.
He's getting ready to debut. And I was informed that all of the guys that he's got coming out with him in this, you're going to see it here in a bit, this entrance, but all students from Full Sail University, if you're wondering where they got all those guys.
They got me on this one. They got me. It's Leo Kruger. You've been doing this with brooding, bearded Leo Kruger, and they got me in the fact that I didn't think they would be able to flip a switch and get me to, you know, to be fine with this, but I'm actually fine with this, as you'll see.
Here you go.
How they're
going
to be able to pull this off for longer, I have no idea.
I like how they got an up next right there. I didn't even know there were commercials on NXT.
Have you seen the Joey commercial?
No.
The WrestleMania commercial, it's Joey at age 7, then it's at 17 and 27, and now he's 37.
Oh, yeah.
So it touched me immensely having my son like that now.
Did it really?
And the other thing it actually did was also point out the fact that people like you and me, who are 37, 38, 39 years old, are the real backbone of their actual, you know, company still.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually a terrifying thought.
Well, I know this is a long time ago. I mean, I used to, when I was really following the ratings and everything like that, and I was looking at who is watching WWE, you know, what is the average age of the viewer? And when I was like 19, 20 years old, the average viewer was 19, 20 years old. And, you know, everyone was kind of thinking, well, as time goes on, you've got to cultivate new 19 and 20 year olds. You've got to do something that's going to attract these new 19 and 20 year olds. Cause that's how old people are when they watch wrestling. But that's not the case. What has happened is WWE is aging with us. The average age of a WWE viewer is now 38, 39. So it's just the same people watching year after year, and now their kids are watching, which is why you see all the kids' eyes. We'll talk about this more after the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. And streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And in about, what do we got? 20 minutes, we're going to be watching the TNA pay-per-view, Lockdown pay-per-view. We spent a lot of today talking about it. And after the show is over, guess what? More live audio for you. If you head over to WrestlingObserver.com, we're going to be doing a post-show. Myself, Vinny, and Craig are going to be running down all of the results from the Lockdown show. And we'll talk some more news as well. And Adam Rose, we're going to talk about his ring entrance. We're watching it during the break right here. And what a ring entrance it was for the former Leo Kruger. So all that stuff is going to be talked about tonight on the show. You can check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. As a subscriber, you not only get access to all of the live shows, but every show, about 5 minutes after the show goes off the air, it's available on the front page, on demand, only for subscribers. So if you love this show and you only get here one time a week, you are missing out. Daily radio shows we do up at WrestlingObserver.com. Two a day on average. I'm actually doing three today, if you count this one here. And they all go up into the archives. Every show I've ever done is in the archives. There's over 5,000 hours of audio in the archives you can go up and check out at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you are not a subscriber, I can't tell you how many people have been listeners of Wrestling Observer Live. And they heard my spiel, and finally they said, all right, I'll give this thing a try. And they went up and gave it a try, and they emailed me and said, I wish I'd done this like 5 years ago. I had nothing to listen to in the car on the way to work except bad local radio. And now I've got your show that I can listen to every day because I've got the archive. So head up there and check it out. It is $10.99. If you sign up for a year, it's only $9.99. It is a perfect complement to the WWE Network. As I usually say on the live shows, we can all watch the WWE Network together, as we are doing right now with Adam Rose's entrance and all of the students there from Full Sail University that are helping him out. So anyway, Mike, what were we talking about before we went to the break?
I'm not real sure, but
no one knows
about that ring entrance.
That's right. If you want to give us a call, 855.
Oh, actually, you know what? It was about ages, which, you know, the fact that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The average age of a WWE fan is going up every year as we get older. It's like our age. We are the core WWE audience.
Do you see the amount of people that are in it? Granted, it who knows if it'll happen or not. The stock price is going to have a lot to do with that as far as feeling from the outside community and things like that post-WrestleMania. But for those people saying that we could have a third boom period happening, you know, and maybe this is the start of it and having it roll down the line or something like that, no matter what happens, we will have been partially responsible for three of the biggest boom periods in professional wrestling history, if that's the case. You know, you had the 30s, you know, the Strangler Lewis era, then you had the golden era into television. There really was not another one again. Even though wrestling was huge and massive and profitable in the 70s, you didn't have another one again until the explosion of the WWF and cable in the 80s. Then you had the Monday Night Wars era, and then whatever would come next. And we would be responsible for three of the biggest events in biggest bumps in pro wrestling history, our base of our core of wrestling fans.
I don't think it's completely out of the question that we're on our way to another boom period.
The excitement behind the network, and a lot of people that I know who have not watched WWF programming or WWE programming in a long, long time, who said they would have been completely happy watching their old tapes and watching YouTube if they ever get the Jones for wrestling, who have gone away from it. They're still excited, no matter if they've had problems or not. They've still been pretty excited about the WWE Network. And in some cases, it's been because of NXT feeling like an old school wrestling show.
I don't know if it's so much NXT, but there's certainly like there's a lot more excitement for WWE nowadays. And I could tell you from our own subscriber base. I mean, the WWE Network and CM Punk, and a lot of it also is just WrestleMania season. You know what I mean? Because WrestleMania season is always going to be just a crazy time of the year. But I can tell you that we are way up right now, and we're way higher than we were last year. So it's not just WrestleMania season. I mean, a lot of people are really into the WWE Network, and I also think that, I mean, for us at least, a lot of people are now learning how to go online and stream things. I think that there are some WWE fans that maybe never streamed before. I mean, I know there are because I got emails from them, but I think that more and more people are learning how to do this. I think it's going to help our business. And I think that just the ability to watch all of this stuff, they can do a live special anytime they want. WWE Main Event was live last week. In fact, we broke the news here on the show. It was actually somebody, on their Twitter, they alerted me to it, but it was because of, we announced it here on the show. Nobody in WWE knew at the time. I shouldn't say nobody. Obviously, somebody knew because they put it up on the schedule, but a lot of people didn't know about it. And I think it's live this week. The official word from WWE was Main Event was going to be live every week until WrestleMania, but it's not live on the schedule as of right now for this week, so I don't know what's going on. But the point of this is, you know, they can do a live show anytime they want. They can shoot an angle on Raw and say, hey, we're going to do this here on the network. They can do whatever they want with this network. And it's going to lead to, I mean, I could tell you from this show, I mean, Wrestling Observer Live for a long time was not live. Hate to break kayfabe here, but wow. We pre-taped the show. And so over the last 5 months or so, we've started going live again. And we're now live every single Sunday. And I'm doing live shows. And it adds a lot of excitement to the show. You know, you've got people listening and they're joining in with you, and it's just a lot more exciting. And with the network, you can do that exact same thing. You can go live anytime you want. I just think it's going to break WWE out of some doldrums, and I think that it's going to be really good for the business as a whole. I don't know if we're going to get another boom period, but I do think it's possible.
Well, at least there'll be some good feelings and good tidings. I mean, you know, the people saying WCW has been the one of the more excited, you know, people have been the most excited to go back and see some of that stuff. Which again, I guess there's going to be people seeing it for the first time and people seeing it for the first time in a very, very, very long time. Cause maybe they didn't, you know, decide to order every VHS tape back in the day where it was, you know, $40 for the Great American Bash. I mean, some of the prices on VHS tapes from way back in the day, and people are getting a chance to see this stuff for the first time. And again, the way the network's set up right now, even though there's a lot of reruns of programming, even though there's a lot of things I think they could do, including getting licensing from things like Monopoly. I mean, Monopoly's got a version of itself out for everything. I mean, to have... There's a million and one things you could do with the network, but even so, there's a little bit of everything on right now for everyone anyway. You have an old school wrestling show with NXT, or this could be the first time that people have seen guys from the indies like Sterling James Keenan and El Generico and Pac. That's the first time they've seen these guys since they've seen them on the indies. You have going back to watch old ECWs. Look, a lot of people, hardcore TV, most people never saw that show. A lot of the people listening here probably went out of the way to see it. And if you're living on the East Coast or in Florida or Ohio or Pennsylvania, sure, you saw it. But lots of people across the country never saw that show. They're getting a chance to see it for the first time. The WCW stuff, and plus the live stuff, the backstage stuff, which isn't much, but they introduced that this week in WWE, which I thought was a pretty good 30-minute digest of what happened on all the shows, the title changes that happened, the main angles. That's probably a show that could replace AM Raw as far as being on the USA Network at 2 a.m. They've had some good stuff on there so far. So yeah, they need a lot more as far as I'm concerned, but they're off to a really good start as far as having a little bit of something for everybody.
Man, poor Sami Zayn's just being beaten on right now.
By Corey Graves.
By Sterling Corey James Graves. Keenan. Sterling James Keenan. That's right.
New Punk.
That's right. He is the new CM Punk. He could be.
So, I'm still going with Tyler Breeze, possibly, maybe, one day being the new not-as-wrestling-talented Dolph Ziggler one day, if Dolph's not too careful.
Well, the slower version, I guess, of Dolph Ziggler. Mania 26 is first run tonight, it's noted here, so maybe that will take some viewers away from the TNA show. Although, I don't know... I mean, honest to God, if I wanted to see Mania 26, I could go into the archives and watch it. So, I
think if you're that big of a there, TNA right? fan, that you would order this pay-per-view, there's only one of four. You're going to order it.
Yeah. All right. Let's look through some of these tweets right here. This guy also noted that among the dancers for Adam Rose's entrance on NXT was Sami Callihan, now Solomon Crowe. The former Sami Callihan was in there dancing as well.
What would Eric Cannon think right now?
I don't know. Eric Cannon, you know, I'll never forget, for those of you that have never seen Eric Cannon, he's a big kind of, how would you describe him?
Big Pabst Blue Ribbon guy who would just punch you in the face. Kind of give you that impression.
But he got booked for the show. And I didn't know what to expect. I'd never talked to the guy in my life. I'd seen a few matches, but not a lot of them. And he came on, and he was awesome. He was like one of the best interviews I've ever done. So if you're a subscriber, go up there and find that that interview. He was great. What did you think
of? Some
people
aren't what you think they'd be. You know, Necro Butcher was like that.
Yeah, really smart guy.
Almost kind of disappointing. You're expecting some, again, you almost a maniac to come. I don't know. The Briscoes are a great example of, are we going to get, like, are the Briscoes any different in real life as they would be, you know, interviewing them on the show? Is it all kayfabe? Nope. The Briscoes are the Briscoes.
No, they're the real deal.
That's great.
Oh yeah. I had, when we had Mark Briscoe on the Christmas show, he was as drunk as any of us. He may have been more drunk than Vinny actually. Which was really saying something on the Christmas show.
I think Mark could hold it, but his is a little bit better.
What else do we have? By the way, what did you think of the UFC show on Fight Pass last night?
I actually thought it was good. I like Alexander Gustafsson anyway. It's too bad that it's not that they kills me that they run so many shows. It's how some of these things are structured, but... you know, you're trying to build a market in Europe and trying to build something special over there with Fight Pass and making it feel special. And to me, you know, Gustafsson belongs on pay-per-views, but you have him out there. It's not like Manna was with this a huge risk or anything like that, but I'm happy that Gustafsson came away from it, you know, without any marks on him. Gunnar Nelson was really impressive too. And again, it's really early in his career right now. He's, you know, only had about 13 fights and, you know, he has not fought anybody super high level yet or anything, but with his presentation, the way he is, the way that he fights, the problems that he can bring to opponents, he's somebody that I think you could start putting in. You know, I know you want to play him up in Europe and things like that, but you may want to bring him over here and start putting him on the undercard, the televised undercard of pay-per-views and things like that, because I think you could really build something there with him. And Brad Pickett throwing his name into the mix at flyweight too. Granted, there's not a whole lot of dudes in the mix at flyweight or anything like that, but he did and said all the right things after his fight. And I frankly thought his performance over Neil Seary was even more impressive in a lot of ways than Gustafsson over Manawa, but Gustafsson being the star, and not to say he didn't deserve the bonuses, but he was the one who ended up getting them.
Oh my God. I've been sent a picture here on Twitter. And it says this is the scene for lockdown right now, but I don't believe this is actually the scene. This has to have been taken earlier in the day. It is an absolutely virtually empty building.
TNA's offense, a lot of people have done that to them at the beginning of shows and things like that.
This has to have been taken earlier in the day. There's no way this is the current attendance. We're gonna be back in just a moment, everybody. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And in a moment, the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view is going to kick off. And again, don't forget, as soon as the show goes off the air, we are going to be back here, myself and Vinny V and my buddy Craig. We're going to be doing the post show, a live post show up at WrestlingObserver.com, only at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. And Mike, before we go here tonight, did you get a chance to see that last New Japan pay-per-view that Dave was raving about?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh,
I
man.
Feel really bad about that, because the Kota Ibushi, who's the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, faced off against Okada, the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, and apparently it was magical. Okada defended his title, but apparently it was about 20 minutes of awesome that may be the match of the year this year, so I'm excited to see that.
All right, you can always check out those New Japan pay-per-views if you head up to Ustream. I believe it's ustream.com/NJPW1972, if I've got that correct. But they've got a lot.
It happens to be their anniversary show of that 1972 dawn of their company.
That's right.
The show took.
That's right. I guess 1972. That company's been around longer than I've been around. That's
not that much.
Hell yeah! It's still nowhere near the length of time that CMLL has been around. 1933. Everybody, CMLL, the oldest wrestling promotion in the entire world. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Don't forget to check out the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view. And then later on tonight, I'll be back with Vinny and Craig, and we will be talking Lockdown and all the news. Want to thank Mike, as always, all the listeners, all the folks at Sports Byline USA. We'll talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.